Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres set to play the Rockies for three. That starts a six-game road trip. They're in Colorado and Los Angeles. We will talk about the Padres and the Rockies. But I want to make sure, we'll do that first, but I want to make sure that tell you that Jay and I, and in particular Jay, we're going to talk about kind of our takeaway from this weekend, this celebration of Trevor Hoffman, and why we were disappointed, and I think probably most importantly, what it says about what the Padres need to do. Is that fair to say, Jay, that we play it forward and say, you know, there's some real vivid takeaways from that weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a good start to get back to. We'll get into that. I was thinking about it at the couple games I attended over the weekend, and this podcast is as good a place as any to talk about it. But first, we'll get to Denver. You are actually not on this road trip. The only trip this year that you will not be making. Jeff Sanders is in Denver. Already has a post up this morning from Denver with some notes.
I'm really enjoying this. This is great. I know this is good for me. I am having a little bit of withdrawals.
Will you be watching on some sort of screen at all this week?
Yes, I got the MLB. I can't say that I'll watch every inning, just for full disclosure. But but I will watch parts of games, and certainly I will follow along, and then I will update my book as I do every day afterwards. So I'll know what's going on. But it's just like I'm not there. What if there's a no hitter, Jay? The chances are pretty good.
Do you even watch every inning when you're at the game? Do you have to force yourself to do that sometimes?
No, I actually, because I knew going in what this season was. Like, I'm not saying the attention never drifts. You can't watch 1,000 innings and not have
right,
that happen.
Right.
But I know going in that, like, okay, well, this guy's up this inning. All right, this is what we're going to take away, or some guy will surprise you, or how's this pitcher doing? I mean, there's always something to watch with this team, but your point is well taken. Jay, I know that you have looked into the Colorado Rockies, who, am I right? They're in kind of a virtual tie. I think maybe the Cardinals have a one less loss, but I mean, we've got a long way to go. But a virtual tie for the second wild card spot. They're a half game back of the Diamondbacks, but they're tied for that second wild card spot with the Braves and the Cardinals. Am I correct about that?
That sounds about right.
Okay, good.
Milwaukee is 70-57.
Right.
The Rockies 68-56. Philadelphia 68-56. St. Louis 68-57.
Oh, Philly, that's right. Atlanta's atop the East.
Right.
But they're all real bunched in.
Atlanta's only a game ahead of Philly. The Cubs are only three ahead of Milwaukee. And the Rockies are only a half a game back of Arizona, thanks to Arizona's enjoying a weekend here in San Diego. The Rockies, though, were eight games back on June 28th. Since that time, Kevin, they have played nothing but winning teams, and they are 30-14. The best record in the National League. Only the Red Sox and A's have been better during that span. So they've made up basically an eight-game deficit in the West. They're right there in the wild card hunt. I'm sure they would love to avoid the wild card game, which they were in last year. They are being carried for the most part. I was looking at some of their numbers. Some of their offensive guys have only been kind of just about ordinary this year, the likes of Charlie Blackmon and those type of guys. But Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story have both been fantastic. Their OPSs are over 900. They've combined for 56 home runs. They've combined for 170 runs batted in. You know, one of them has 84, the other one has 86. Story also has 130 strikeouts too, which is just how the game is played, I guess. But then their pitching, their bullpen's been terrible. You know, they signed Wade Davis, he's been bad. They signed Brian Shaw, he's been worse. But their starters have been pretty good, especially Kyle Freeland, who the Padres will see on Thursday afternoon. So it's always interesting to go to Coors. You never know what kind of games you might get. I think, unfortunately, especially for Jeff Sanders and the UT Sports Desk tonight, I think there is a chance of thunderstorms throughout tonight's game. So we'll see what develops there. But the Padres tonight will send Robbie Erlen out, and then we'll see a couple rookies. Jacob Nix, who had the one great start and then the one terrible start when everybody, of course, wrote it. You know, people were writing him off saying, oh, great, another stiff, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, he just threw six scoreless innings in his first start. So, of course, let's write him off. And then Joey Lucchese will pitch on Thursday afternoon. So that's what I know about the Rockies, Kevin. What do you got?
It is always interesting, and Jeff Sanders had this in his post, and you always know. It's not like a surprise. Oh, wow, visiting players do well at Coors Field. It still is interesting. So read Jeff's post about Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, I mean, different guys that that do well. So, you know.
Yeah, I think, I think Hedges was on that list as well.
It's funny you mentioned the RBI, which has gone the way of the win and the dodo bird, right?
RBI. Yeah.
But when you are crushing 100 a season, that's a significant stat. It means that when guys are on base, you're driving them in and you're hitting home runs. So there is a time when a stat like that does come into play, because I'm telling you, there's no one on the Padres approaching that.
Right. So, I mean, I think people do deserve some credit for that. I mean, certainly RBIs are a product of having people on base for you. But, you know, you do still have to get a hit or an out, other than a double play, which we've talked about before, how ridiculous that is. I do have to mention the scoring decision the other day in Sunday's game, which was just one of the all-timers, where the guy, I think it was guy who hit fifth in the order for Arizona, left-hander, Escobar maybe was the...
Escobar, well, he was moving around, but I remember you texting me during it, and I believe it was Escobar.
He hit a two-hopper to Will Myers, who was playing sort of in at third base. Mm-hmm. Myers caught the ball, clutched once, clutched again, finally decided he could get the ball over to first base. I don't think he was having trouble getting it out of his glove. It was just he had like a moment where he just couldn't throw it. And so finally he threw the ball to first base, and the runner was safe, and they gave him a hit. And it was like, how in the world is that not a normal effort, or whatever the rule is, that a normal fielding effort would not have gotten that guy out at first base? He hit a simple grounder that was fielded cleanly, and the guy just didn't throw the ball. I mean, if that's not an error, why do we even have errors? Just call everything a hit.
Now that's where you've gone too far. But you are correct that was not a hit, and you're correct in your gripe about it. There is a provision in the rules about, I forget what it is, but like slow play, that the score could not rule that an error. It seems to contradict the normal effort, you know, provision, but there is something in the rules about that is not an error. That was not up to the score. Well, again, I want to say the scores at Petco Park are among the best in the league based on what I've seen traveling around this year.
Well,
but
if that's
that
part of the rule, then
infallible.
If that's part of the rule, then that makes about as much sense as this helmet rule in the league. We're not supposed to talk about it anymore.
Thank you for talking about the NFL, because we're not going to go down the rabbit trail here. Like I always go with AJ Cassavell, because it's fun and we don't have limits of a podcast, and I want to make sure we get to what we get to. But AJ Cassavell, as you know, Jay, is huge on the stupidity of the air and other basic things. These young kids, and they always want to change baseball. And I don't have a problem with that. I love baseball because it hasn't changed. That doesn't mean it shouldn't change. But what I want is like a convening of the bishops, right? I want this to be like a five-year process. And whatever changes are made to all these rules that you people are all upset about, okay, and some that I get, I want them to stand for another 100 years. Because the NFL is ridiculous changing its rules every year. That can't happen in baseball.
I agree. And don't be knocking AJ. He's a big Liverpool fan, and that gets all the points in my book. So,
well, he also knows a lot about this stuff. I mean, he's big into – I mean, do you know that AJ wrote or helped to write, when he was an intern for MLB.com, like the glossary for all the sabermetrics? AJ knows his stuff.
Right.
And he makes a lot of good points. He also sounds like you a lot of times, which is like, you know –
when he's making good points. Exactly. Thank you. Okay.
All right, let's talk, Jay, because, you know, this is great. The funny thing about, you know, this team is they provided us lots to talk about besides the fact that they stink. Of course, that they stink has something to do with this topic that we really want to get to.
Correct.
And that is, and you have the numbers, so I won't ruin it, but I think that we're all a little disappointed in the attendance for the Trevor celebration weekend.
Yeah, I was just surprised sitting there on Thursday night was when I first thought of it. They were giving away the jerseys. They announced a crowd of 20,000 that night. They only had 20,000 the next night. Then the big night was Saturday night, which has been the Padres by far their best attendance night throughout the year. And they had just a little over 24,000 that night. And then they had 22,000 on Sunday. So the entire series drew 87,000. So you're talking about under 22,000 a game. And I think there's different reasons. I mean, we can get into that. I think one of the things is, first of all, the Padres are not any good. We know that. So the quality, the product on the field is one of the biggest driver, I think, for attendance in this market. We're talking about just this market. When the team is really good, and it has been good in the past, the attendance showed it. It happened the first 4 years at Petco. Sure, some of that was people just wanting to come out there, but it's been good, and the experience there for the most part is good, although the noise sometimes, I mean, it's not Dodger Stadium loud, but it's unnecessarily loud as I yell for people to get off my lawn as well. But the biggest thing obviously is the product. The product isn't very good. So you're always going to have a little bit of trouble drawing attendance. So I think one of the things the Padres counted on this year was the nostalgia of the 98 team. And that sort of, and they planned all these giveaways, and I was looking back because I wanted to make sure I had my research in order today, and they had 9 giveaways before this weekend. They had 9 Saturday night giveaways, and the smallest crowd for one of those giveaways was 31,710. That was for Hawaiian Shirt Night against the Cincinnati Reds. Those 9 Saturday giveaways averaged just over 36,000, but included in those games were 3 Trevor Hoffman bobblehead giveaways. So there had already been 3 Hoffman giveaways. Now they came back and they had 4 more Hoffman giveaways. And I just think they overestimated the idea that people were so enamored with the 98 team and with Trevor, and as great a guy as Trevor is, and an incredible career and all the credit he deserves for, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame and all that. I just think they went to the well a few times too often.
Absolutely. And Jay, to me, the biggest injustice, I'll let you continue, but is that it did a disservice to Trevor in that I don't know if it was Babe Ruth that we were celebrating and all he had done in San Diego and the statue, right? That the fourth giveaway around Trevor, and then the fourth is the big one. By the way, the Padres did a phenomenal job. I don't think they could have done any better. It was a fantastic ceremony. The statue is amazing. Mm-hmm. It was a great night, but it was a pathetic turnout, and I don't blame the fans. I don't. I mean,
it's too much.
There's only so much you can do.
Right, and I think what happened is, you know, they made it a 4-day weekend for this thing after they had already, like I said, they had already done it 3 times. I mean, we had the whole weekend against the Cardinals,
including the 4-day
back in May where they gave away 4 things and didn't, and by the way, did not draw well that weekend either with all the 98 nostalgia.
However, on that one, and I remember doing a comparison that I felt was as apples to apples as I could, unlike this one, which was disappointing and down from previous Diamondbacks late season home series.
Right.
That one actually, while you might look at the total numbers and say, not so great, you might have thought more, it was an increase over what they would have done without that, it appeared historically.
Maybe, but I mean, I'm looking at the 4 crowds and they had 20, 28, 30, 32, almost 33, and 28. And that's with a lot of Cardinals fans there. And
there sure was.
And this gets to my other point about attendance this year in terms of the disappointment. And I think, again, it's even with last year. The Padres will tell you that, you know, they rank 18th in baseball in attendance, although they're 12th
with the 27th record.
Right. And they're 12th, although they're 12th out of 15 in the National League, where they have obviously the worst record. But I think, you know, they lost 3 games in May to the weekend to the Dodgers, which obviously cost them. But you look at that 1 week in July where the Dodgers were here and the Cubs were here. That was a week where I thought, and the Dodger crowds were pretty good. I mean, they were all in the upper 20s. But they had 3 straight games against the Cubs on that weekend. And, you know, thousands and thousands of Cubs fans were part of the attendance. And the Padres still never drew more than 30, didn't even draw 39,000. They drew just under 39 for 2 games and 37 for the other. So they never even hit 40. To me, the mark, this team should be drawing 40,000 on the weekends. and especially on a Saturday night, especially against the Cubs.
Against the Cubs.
Right.
Or the Dodgers.
And those are the kind of games where it's like, yeah, they're averaging 36 on Saturday nights, but they've only had three crowds all year over 40,000. One of them was on opening night or opening day, which is always going to do that. Then they had a Saturday night giveaway against the Giants, who obviously had tons of fans that drew 41. And then a couple weeks later, they had a Saturday night.
But let me ask you.
Saturday night giveaway against the Mets. I don't know how many Mets fans were there, but I think the Mets were still decent at that point. And they had a sellout of 40, mm-hmm. almost 43 that night. But they haven't hit 40,000 since that point. But why should they? Well, because I think, and the reason that they should is because they should be either promoting better or, and this is something that I have always talked about, is tickets, they're not giving enough value basically, because mm-hmm. there's two, to me, you draw because you create value on the field with your product, or you create value by making your ticket cost and concession cost, you make it valuable enough for the fan to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, the team might not win, but this is still going to be worth my going out there. And I think what happens on the weekends especially is that, because I understand it's hard drawing crowds during the week. People have lives. It's hard to get down there. There's school for part of the time and all that stuff. But on the weekends, I just think there's a lot of seats. Why are park at the park passes $20-$25? You know, on the weekend, or why are upper level? To me, it just feels like they should be marketing better, pricing better to get more people in the park, or creating value at the concession stands, which is something I've talked about often. I mean, I go through now where I bring my own water to the games, and it's a little bit of a hassle to carry around a little cooler. I probably wouldn't do it if they charged a more reasonable price for certain products, but you know, that's just a decision I've made, is that I'm not going to pay that kind of money for water and soda. Now, other people might do it, but I just think they need to be more creative in terms of either of pricing tickets or pricing concessions, just coming up with some sort of deals where you get more people out to the ballpark, expose them to the product. Okay.
And there's a lot of really valid points in there, and you know, and I guess my bottom line is, and I'd love to address some things, and I do promise you and the listener, there is a story coming on this that is grander, because it would take into account, like, I want to understand the business of the Padres, because something's working, because attendance is down and theirs isn't, and they suck. So something's working, and they've decided this is their price point. And so I want to understand why, and I wouldn't pretend to know at this point,
but there,
definitively for you.
I will say their attendance is down, though, by more than, if you go back to 2015 and 16, and they were bad in 15 and they were worse in 16.
There was that hope in 15, though.
In 15, there was the hope in 15,
and they were what, three games back in July or five or something like that.
And then in 16 there was no hope, and they averaged 29,000 a game. You know, now they're down about 10% from that. So I
think this is fatigue, plain and simple. And
yeah,
that brings
I agree.
Me to my point, which is bottom line serves them right. And I don't think they'd argue. Like, if Ron Fowler listens to this, like, I don't think he'd argue. Like, yeah. I mean, this is what we have to endure right now. It better get better.
But I don't think they have to endure it that's my point, is that they should have made, knowing they were going to be terrible for these couple of years, they should have done more. You see it in other stadiums, at least the advertisements.
But where do you see it?
I see it with
more breaks in ticket prices.
The common complaint I hear and I see online is people saying tickets were too expensive. This weekend, for instance, there was someone who posted on, and again, the social media, I can't confirm this. Someone posted on social media, they had bought passes at Costco. I think you can get discount tickets at Costco. And they were told they couldn't use them this weekend. It was like a blackout weekend type of thing, because they thought this was such an important weekend. And again, that's the point where I say they overestimated what they were offering this weekend, and the fact that people were kind of worn out on the subject. And so I think, you know, more discounts, if you're not going to give if the product on the field is going to be worse, you need to create value somewhere else. And the somewhere else is either at the ticket window or it's at the concession stands where you have, you know, hot dogs tonight are dollar hot dogs. I mean, look at the Gulls. The Gulls every Friday night have $2 beers. I'm not saying the Padres need to have $2 beers or whatever, but they're trying, you know, that's something where they're trying something like that. And I know the Padres have these family deals or whatever it is. Well, you know what? I and a lot of other people who go to games don't have families. I don't need to buy four tickets and get four hot dogs and four sodas or whatever. I mean, there might be people who just want to get a 2-for-1 deal or they want to go on a night when, you know, when beer is $8 instead of $13. I mean, there's a lot of, look, this isn't it's not my job. It's not my expertise, but I've seen a lot of games. I've been to a lot of places. I just think there's ways to make this happen. And my feeling is the Padres aren't doing enough of that. And that's why, you know, just because their attendance isn't down from last year, to me, if I was in the Padres organization, I wouldn't be satisfied with that. I would say, what can we do to get people out to the ballpark and expose them? We have this great ballpark. We have this great experience that we believe in. How do we expose people to that?
Without a doubt. That part I can't argue with you. And again, I really do want to explore this. I've been a little busy with the season. I will, because I am. I'm fascinated by it. I don't think anyone there is satisfied, but that doesn't mean that your points aren't completely valid. I don't know how they market any better. I've yet to see anybody on the big screen not having a good time. I do, you know, there is a reason that they stink so bad and attendance isn't down. That, you know, I think they need to be a better team. I think that, how about this? What are they going to do next year, and what are fans going to do next year if they are, let's say, sub 500, right?
Right.
And next year is all about nostalgia. Next year is the celebration of the 50th anniversary.
Exactly.
So is that going to bring people out?
I don't know. That's,
I don't know.
I know this. If I was sitting down the street in their offices right now, I'd be a little concerned about that because I think people have shown this year that the nostalgia is not all that maybe some other people think it is in terms of bringing people out there. Now, maybe 50 years is different. They'll have some great, promotions. All that sort of thing. And they have done well. I will say this: they've done fairly well with the giveaways. The ironic thing is the bobbleheads, which a lot of people I know have cried out for. The bobbleheads were not among their best, other than the one in late July against Arizona. The bobbleheads have not been their best promotions. They did better early on with the blanket, the jersey, the hoodie. Although, again, one of those was against the Giants. One of them was against the Mets. You know, they were probably hurt this year. They never had a weekend at home against the Dodgers,
Here's what a bobblehead, and we'll wrap this up because I'm so glad you brought that up. Just because, like, the bobbleheads were never like a magic cure. You can only have so many Will Myers or Han Myers, bobblehead nights. It's just, I mean, come on. What you need is Aaron Judge, Freddie Freeman, Jose Altuve. That's what you need. You need, let's say that this sort of Freddie Galvis fever that has sort of swept. Let's say he's still back next year and there's a bobblehead of him making one of his little sliding catches or something, or, you know, Fernando Tatis in 2 years after he's rookie of the year, right? Like, right. Or Luis Urias or whatever. Those are the bobbleheads that sell, not the 47th Trevor Hoffman bobblehead.
Right. And I do think what would really sell is, number one, and we've talked about it so many times, Luis Urias being here already would help. But what's really going to help is if Tatis is here next year and he gets off to, you know, he has a good start and he gets people, and him and Urias get off to good starts, and people can get excited about coming out to see those kind of players. That's what, I mean, obviously that's going to help more than anything. What my point today was, before that happens, there are ways that I think they could have, you know, done other things. But the bottom line is attendance is going to go up when they get better. Of course, the one fear is, and this is because they haven't raised ticket prices, at least among season ticket holders for a while, is the first time they have a good season, how much are they going to jack up prices? And does that turn off people? What happens to the concession prices? And I that sort of thing. And so I just think that, you know, look, it's kind of expensive out there at times, depending on what you want to do and what you want to drink and what you want to eat. And, you know, we've seen, yes, the economy's great and more people are working and all that stuff, but you know, the wage scale hasn't gone up and a lot of people don't get raises and, you know, other costs go up and all kinds of stuff. So I again, it's just a balancing act, and I just feel like this year they haven't quite done all that they could. But the bottom line, as always, is if the team gets good, attendance should go up. And if it doesn't, then that means that they're charging, again, that would mean they're charging too much money.
Yes, this ticket thing is a tricky deal. I mean, there's like, I'm excited to do something on the Padres finances and their ticket prices and how it all goes together and, mm-hmm. and all that. So,
no,
Jay,
I agree.
You did a phenomenal job.
Kevin, today. Great conversation. I hope you enjoy the rest of your R&R here. And,
yes, indeed, I am.
We'll do that. We'll do it again on Friday when the team gets back into Southern California.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
The San Diego Union-Tribune, in partnership with KPBS, is proud to announce the return of the San Diego Festival of Books, Saturday, August 25th, at Liberty Station. The event will feature over 100 authors, interactive panel discussions, book signings, a dedicated children's area, and exhibitor booths. So grab a book, share a story, and tell a friend. For more information, visit sdfestivalofbooks.com.